Okay, so if you missed the first service, where were you? That's number one. I'm just kidding. But I'll just give you a quick recap. We basically said, talking about long life, we said that the beginning of health is basically having a revelation that you're going to live long. Amen. Because if you don't think you're going to live long, maybe you won't. But if you've got a revelation that you're going to live long and you're holding on to the promises of God's word, then what happens is your mind starts to think that way, and everything processed from here goes to here, and we'll cover that the next few days or on Wednesday. But then what happens is your body actually starts to get in line with that eventuality that you're going to live long. So your body will get in line with that. So we covered that. And then we covered as well that when that happens, what God does is God says, oh, he believes my word, she believes my word. So what we're going to do is we're going to set up circumstances to come along his or her path so that they can fulfill the plans and purposes of long life that I've given for them. Amen. So then people start coming across your path and things you probably didn't expect. But it all goes back to you honoring God's word. If you honor God's word, then people will start to come along to help you fulfill his plans and purposes through your life. And I can testify that in my own life. You know, I've traveled into many nations, and it's been supernatural, you know. People just meet people, or people just pitch up and you get invited to go places, and because it's God's plan and purpose. And it goes back to when I had that encounter in 1984. I saw the end time church in revival, and I saw it as a worshiping church, as a church that is totally absorbed with God, you know. And David said one thing. He says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And so there's two things that David is saying there. He's a profound guy. King David, he says, one thing I have desired, just one thing I've desired, and that will I seek. In other words, I'm going after this one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. So when you look at that word and you look at what was happening in the tabernacle, it's a profound subject, but it's part of what God is doing right now. And I've just started doing seminars on this as well, on the restoration of the tabernacle of David, which is a massive move of God in the end time local church. Amen. And it's all centered around the presence of God. But it goes back to David, and David was basically saying, if I could paraphrase David was basically saying, guys, get this, it's just one thing. Forget all the rest. There's just one thing that I desire. And he's the king, right? He says, one thing I desire, and the rest will just fall in place. The one thing is this, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. In other words, to behold the beauty of the Lord is just basic satisfaction, gazing into the eyes of Almighty God, like the songs we were singing this morning. So he's basically saying, that's just the one thing that I want to do, is to look at God. I'm happy just sitting in that tent, that little tent that they built, and just gazing into the eyes of Almighty God, just being content with God. One of the greatest men that I know, probably one of the greatest men who lives today for God, is a Nigerian guy called Bishop David Oyedepo. I may have mentioned him last time. But Bishop David Oyedepo's got probably the most successful, most powerful church on the planet. A lot of the American guys go there, big names go there, and they're just beginning to find out who he is and are blown away by him. I had the privilege to be several times with him and to stay in his home. We just connected. It was just a God thing. It was one of those things, you know. God brought me across his path. But not for me to teach them any. I can't teach them nothing. Although I spoke at the conference, and I felt, after I heard him speak, I thought, God, don't ask me to speak. After this guy, this is crazy. I mean, this is another level. But you know, I said to him, Bishop, you know, we all this stuff. You know, universities and, you know, part of the whole church thing. I said, you know, Bishop, and you choose your words carefully with a man like this. You really choose your words carefully. And I said to him, Bishop, with all of this success and everything that's happened, what is the key? So I'm looking for keys. I'm expecting keys, right? Yeah. You know, everybody wants a key, right? And I'm expecting something profound, you know? And he says this. He says, I'm content with Jesus. And that was the end of the conversation, you know. And I thought, okay, I better write that one down. I mean, it's like, you know, our words have got to be weighty, you know. Faith makes your words weighty. Words are words. But when words are backed with faith, they become heavy. Amen. And it's that heaviness of your words, it's that substance behind what you're saying, if you really mean it, that in the spirit realm is translated as done. It's always translated as, there's a translation in the spirit realm for everything that is spoken, that is thought. Amen. Everything is translated at different levels. And so it all goes back to that faith, that heart, that the level at which you actually believe this. You didn't have to be the greatest preachers in the world to get great success. You didn't have to be in ministry to get great success. But if your words are weighted, there's a heaviness that gets results. In the spirit realm, everything is measured by spiritual, if I could put it like a spiritual weight. I've never ever said this before. It's just coming now as I'm speaking to you. But spiritual weight, there's a weight, there's a heaviness in the spirit realm. Wow. She actually believes, he actually believes this stuff. It has to come to pass. I'm going to speak on Wednesday on the quantum realm of healing. My background is science. So I kind of love that stuff. You know, I love to look at that and I kind of understand it a little bit. And so I'm going to speak to you on the subject of faith and healing in the quantum realm, how it actually works from a science point of view on Wednesday night. So don't miss Wednesday night. Amen. But what I was saying this morning is, I'm just giving you a little bit. I was saying that so God will say, he actually believes the stuff I've written. God loves that. Somebody actually believes me. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I mean? It's like, whoa. And so God says, okay, I'm going to get behind everything. I'm going to get behind everything you believe. If you dare believe what I've said, I'm going to move heaven and earth to get behind what you believe. I'm looking for somebody who will dare believe the stuff that I've said. I'm looking for somebody who will just believe. Amen. I'm not looking for intellect. I'm just looking for someone who will just believe what I've said. And I will move everything behind those thoughts, those words, those actions. Yeah. Amen. So we looked at that a little bit this morning, but we also looked at the thing is that I want to share this because this is so important, and I may say it a few times, but I want you to get this. That in Jeremiah 29:11 it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord." Yeah, there it is. Thank you. You're doing a great job up there. Thank you. 29, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and hope. I was reading over this months ago. I've been meditating on this one scripture for months because I want to get the weight of it. I'm beginning to get the weight of it. Amen. I'll go to bed at night. I'll go to sleep at night thinking about this, quoting this. And it says, I know the thoughts that I think. This is in present tense. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Present tense. So God's thinking about you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. So what is God thinking about you right now? He's thinking about peace. To give you a future and a hope. So the point I was making this morning is that God's not thinking about your future. You are. But he's not. He's thinking about your present. Amen. And he wants you to get in line with his present. This present state, the best state that you can ever be in is your present state, because that determines everything. It'll even affect your past. In the quantum realm, they've proved all this stuff. But because if you're in a good present state right now, if you're in a peaceful state right now, then what means, how can anything affect your past? Because things that's happened in your past, things that bothered you, man, things that you've carried, you will start to let those things go. So the past will start to dissipate things that's bothered you. Amen. So that you can live in the present, and then the future will start to come into line with that. Amen. So we covered that a little bit this morning. And then the last thing we said was, and I'm doing this for your benefit that never came. How good is that? Thank you. Just kidding. And so then we talked about that you don't pray for a long life. You ask God for wisdom, because God will give you the changes that you've got to make for you to live long. the adjustments that you've got to make to live long. We're not all the same. So it's not a blanket statement, give me long life. Ask God to show you how your life is going to be extended. And it could be through different ways, and we covered that a little bit this morning. And then you talk life over yourself. You speak life over yourself. Amen? So, praise the Lord. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to open up a little bit more to the power of the mind. And then next week I'll just cover with you what I'm going to go through next week. I'm going to talk about the power of the heart. The power of the heart is the most important thing probably in life. And I'm going to show that to you. Not even the mind. We renew the mind, but it's what takes place from the mind to the heart is what's more important. And that is the thing that God is looking for. But we'll come to that. Maybe I'll even do this today. I want to speak about dealing with symptoms, because most of us are dealing with symptoms. So I want to show you how to deal with that. Hopefully we can do that today. But I'll get into the quantum world of health and faith on Wednesday. And then healing at a cellular level, how healing starts to take place at a cellular level. So we'll go through that on Wednesday night, okay? So President Obama, you know, all know who President Obama is, right? He said this, he called this in 2013 from the White House, April the 3rd, 2013. They initiated something called the Brain Initiative. And I'm going to speak a little bit about the mind and the brain now in terms of healing. And President Obama said this. He says, I don't know if you heard of this as Americans, but this really tweaked my attention when I was researching this, the Brain Initiative. And Obama said this, there's an enormous mystery waiting to be unlocked, and the Brain Initiative, is what they called it, will change that by giving scientists the tool they need to get a dynamic picture of the brain in action and better understanding how we think and learn and remember. All that knowledge will be transformative. This is what he said in 2013. Well, I don't know if it's changed America very much since he said that. But the point is this, that the president of the United States, pretty important guy, right? Doesn't matter who he is or she is. He realized that there was something about the way we think that can change society. That was what they were saying with this brain initiative. It says that the U.S. government granted, this is what they granted towards this brain initiative, $100 million towards this project to change the thinking of the American society so that you can basically live better. In other words, they were saying there's great benefits. If our society could think different, they could live better. I mean, that's what they were basically saying. And there was something in this, but unfortunately, we don't really know if any of this was proved to be correct. But the point he was making is absolutely correct, because it's a fact that you and I, we have about 50,000 thoughts every single day pass through your mind. 50,000 thoughts you think about every day. Now, 80% of those thoughts, because of the sin nature, 80% of those thoughts are negative. That's just a fact. 80% of 50,000 thoughts are negative because of the sin nature. Amen. I don't know what that percentage is, and nobody can tell us what it is in terms of the Christian life. But because we live in an environment like this, which is so negative, probably a lot of Christians still think negative as well. Yeah. Amen. So listen to this. So 80% negative thoughts, 90% or 95% of that 80% of negative thoughts are repetitive thoughts. So you think basically 100% over the negative thoughts that you've thought the day before, and the day before, and the day before, and the day before. So because of that, something happens to your mind. Your mind actually starts to get into, there it's up there, 50,000 a thought. So mankind is a result of millions of accumulated thoughts. You are the result of millions of accumulated thoughts, mostly negative and repetitive as a result of the sin nature. Let's just say that we're speaking to not a Christian congregation, but we're speaking to the world. But that is a fact. Amen. And what that does is it hardwires the brain so that becomes your default. In other words, when you hear something, you're either negative or you're skeptical about it. So we live in that kind of society where, oh, we don't know. You know, if you look at the news, I don't know what it's like in America here, but, I was just listening the other day, and I said to Barbara, my wife Barbara, you know what, man, we're even coming to the airport, put the radio on in the morning, and it's bad news. It's hardly any good news. It's like, I wish someone could tell me some good stuff. But our minds are geared towards bad news. Amen? We live on bad news. Amen? That's the work of the enemy. But thank God we live on good news. More enthusiastic amen would be good. We live on good news. Amen. So our default then, so what we've got to do is, it's quite a transformation to take it from a negative, even for us as Christians, to take it from a negative point of view to a positive point of view. Because our default and the way our brains have been wired over the months, the years, the thoughts that's come through, is that we live in this negativity rather than a positivity. So we've really got to do something to change our mindset. Amen. So this state, it affects everything. It affects your emotional state. We're going to look at emotional healing probably next Sunday. It affects your physical health, your relationships, your finances, and so on, are all directed or are related to the way you think, speak, and act regarding them. So there's a major challenge here, even in the body of Christ, for us to change this around and to think different. Now, here's another fact. We can go to the next slide. Thank you. Doing a great job there. You will never spend more time doing anything than thinking. So think about what you're thinking. Amen? Would that be right? I mean, it's true. You'll never do. In fact, what you're doing is a result of what you're thinking. So the question we must ask is, what are we thinking about most of the time? What do we think about? And then we said here in Proverbs 4:23, it says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. I love the way that translation puts it. Your thoughts run your life. 3 John 2, Amplified, beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. So all this is stuff that you know, but let's just recap as if we don't know any of this stuff. Let's just rethink about this. So thoughts are important. How many would say that prayers are important? How many of you pray a lot? Probably most of you pray a lot, right? Amen? So if we look at Scripture then, it says in Ephesians 3:28, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is within us, right? So or is somewhere. So if you look at that scripture then, we know that thinking is important and God will judge our thinking. But God judges our prayers as well. So our prayers have got to be in line with our thinking. God will only, in fact, your prayer life will be an extension of your thought life. It'll never change. So if we're filled, which you're not, but if a lot of the Christians are, if they're filled with negative thoughts, it doesn't matter what they pray, their prayers will never get answered. Because those two things have got to be in line. Because God says, according to that one scripture, God says, I've got to judge both things, Tom. I've got to judge what you think, and I've got to judge what you pray. I can't ignore. If you're thinking, for example, that by Jesus' stripes you were healed, but if you're praying, rather, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, but you're thinking you might not. Amen? Now, it's easy for us to fall in that trap. You might say, well, that sounds... But that is a major, major thing. So if you're praying one way, and every Christian would pray that prayer, I'm healed in Jesus' name. But then what is happening with your thought life? Because God has created you an integrated being that you've got to, these things have got to work together synergistically. They've got to work together. Otherwise, we don't get answers. So your prayers are as important then as your thoughts. When your mind is convinced you are healed, your body will prepare itself for that reality. And I was saying this morning that your mind, your body actually doesn't know the difference between what you're thinking and reality. This is an incredible thing. Amen. And so what your body will do is your body will respond to the way you think. In fact, we'll go into this later, but it's a release of chemicals. Every thought basically releases a chemical. And these chemicals are either good or bad chemicals. Amen. So this is common knowledge now in the medical world. So when you think good thoughts, you're releasing good chemicals into your body. So then your body starts to feel good. So then your body will send signals to your mind, I'm feeling good. It's just a cycle. Can you see that? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I don't know what I was doing, but I came in and I said to Barbara, oh, I feel tired tonight. I don't think I'll go to gym. This is funny. And she said, okay, you feel tired. She said, you think you're tired? I said, yeah, I think I'm tired. And what happened was I actually got tired. Because I'd sent a signal to my body saying I'm tired. So my body sends a signal back to my mind saying the boy's tired. This is a confirmation that Jim is out tonight. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa, what was happening, man? I mean, but this is a reality. Amen? It's a loop that we're in. So our mind sends signals to our body, I'm sick. So your body says, he's sick. So then you'll start feeling sick. You'll get that signal back to your mind confirming what you've just spoken. I'm getting the flu. Really? Well, then that's what your body. Your body will confirm that quickly. Amen? I mean, you might say, well, that's just silly. Well, it might just be silly, but it's right. Amen? This is the way life works. I mean, God's given us such power in the words that we speak, in the way that we think. Amen. And anything contrary to that is a lie. And we have, you know, you may say, Tom, this is extreme. We've got to be extreme. Come on, help me, guys. We've got to be extreme with our faith. We've got to be extreme with our beliefs. Amen. The devil is extreme. Come on, man. He won't give you any slack. Well, we mustn't give him any slack either, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, your thoughts become words, and words become substance. That's just the way it works. Your thoughts become words; your words become substance. And I'm sure in a church of this caliber, you've been taught that so well by Pastor Henry. So you affect your these things affect everything around you, the way you think, the way you speak. I don't know if I told you this, but there's a guy in our church. If I did tell you this the last time, forgive me, but it's a good story. A guy in our church he speaks to big businesses at a very high level. So CEOs and, you know, that level. And they pay him a fortune. So he'll go in there and he'll speak to them. And he says, you know, he says, Pastor Tom, it's incredible with these guys to try and get to the bottom. They're paying me a fortune. And he says, it usually takes me 3 or 4 hours to get to the one. Did I share the story with you last time? To share this, to get to this one point. So, you know, now I'm talking about, you know, big companies like Qantas, Hitachi, and all those big companies. So the reason they call them in is there's problems. But we don't know how to solve them. So he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. Now, you're paying me a lot of money. They say, yes. He says, so what we got to do is we got to be honest and really get to the problem, because the problem is not what you think. The problem is outside your thinking, I guarantee you. And they look at him and they say, really? He said, yes. So he said, now, you guys need to be honest. There's usually only 3 or 4 of them at that level in these meetings. You got to be really honest with me. Please be honest with me, or we're all wasting our time and you're wasting your money. Okay, whatever. We want to resolve the issues, whatever they are. So he says, your problem is probably something that I call a lack of good finding. And they said, good finding? What does that mean? Well, you're probably in a loop of bad finding. You're in a loop of finding something bad, either about one another or your products or your staff. He says, with most of these companies, there's a negativity that's going on at a very high level. There's complaining, there's murmuring with each other, or regarding the, well, our product's rubbish, or we, you know. And so it might not be as good as the next one, but it's the way you approach, how you look at it, it's going to change everything. Yeah. Amen. So he says, so what you've got to do is you've got to change your mindset about one another. And I'm going to give you time to do that. And then he leaves the room and he leaves them for an hour to think through that. You come back and you say, did you think through that? Was it true? Yeah. So you're going to change that? Yes. And so the Bible calls it good finding, or it's in one of my books, and I've taken that. But basically what that is an attitude of gratitude, which I'm going to cover in terms of health as well later in the week as well. Gratitude is probably the greatest healing source you can find. And I'm going to show you why later. Amen. So gratitude, appreciation for one another. The Bible calls it love, I guess, and it's another. Amen. But I mean, all these things, life works like this. It all works this way. And they're all God principles. These are God principles. A lot of these guys are doing these, you know, these talks out there, and they're great, but they're all stolen. They're all principles that has been stolen from God's word. And we should be operating with these things. We should be doing that. So your mind then is, and I think there may be a slide for this, it's slide number 9. Your mind is like, is there another one? We'll come back to this, the next one. Yeah, I want to show you this. This is how the mind basically works. So you've got these, it's like a gigantic electric grid, if you can imagine your mind. There's millions of circuits in your mind. Hundred thousand chemical reactions taking place in every cell in your body every second. Did you know that? 100,000 chemical reactions taking place in your body every single second. And you're unconscious of that. Amen. Think about that. 100,000 chemical, electrochemical reactions taking place every second in every cell. And there's trillions of cells in your body. And you and I are completely aware of it. Amen. It's because God is overseeing that. But when you look at the mind, this is the way it works. So there's all these electrochemical pathways that's taking place in your mind, millions of these circuits. So when you renew your mind, what happens is, if you can look at this quickly, and just imagine, not the yellow one, but imagine the one to the right of it, that line that's going up, and you can see that's much thinner than the yellow one, right? So so the one on the right, that thin one, would be thoughts, normal thoughts, that would, they create these pathways, and depending on how much you've thought about a particular thing, you will have these pathways that you formed in your mind. Now, the more you think about something, you could say, in a sense, the thicker the pathway will get. Amen. In other words, it will have formed a mature pathway in your mind. Amen. So this is all, it's all scientific. It's all been proved in the last 10 years or whatever as well. But, and there's people more qualified than me to talk about this. But here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about when God speaks to us about renewing the mind. Amen. In Romans 12, chapter 2. Talks about renewing the mind. Thank you. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants to show you how great he is, but he can only show you according to the extent to which you've renewed your mind. So a Christian whose mind is not renewed has no idea how great God is. Amen. They just know him as their savior, maybe. But they have no concept of how great God is. So there's levels of how God wants to show you who he is. And the more you're open and the more you've renewed your mind, which I'll explain now, then the greater you will see how God is. The greater you see how God is, the more you will trust God. The more you will trust God, the more you will fulfill his plans and purposes for your life. Yes. Amen. Yes. So So getting onto this word renew, say your mind is like a gigantic electric grid, which we'll go back to just now. But renew here, no, go back again, thank you. Renew there means again, from Anna, and then neo, it's the Greek word, to make new or to make young again. I love this when I studied this. And so when you renew your mind, you're renewing your mind, but you're almost like making it new again. Renewing your mind literally makes you young on the inside. Thanks for your enthusiasm. I thought that was great. Amen. Come on now. When you get over 30, you need this. Come on, man. Amen. So that's what renewing your mind. Renewing your mind means that you start thinking young. And there's a reason for this, which we'll get to know when we go to the next slide. So you start thinking young. Amen. Let me put it to you in another way. You start thinking fresh. You start thinking of new possibilities. Amen. That's what I mean by young. You know, but you will literally feel young. But you start thinking new possibilities. And what happens is when you look at this now, if you're renewing your mind, what happens is going from this thin line, you're going to go to this thicker line. Amen. Amen. So you renew your mind. Let's just say, using a scripture like, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. So you start to meditate on that scripture. You meditate on it and you go through it and through it and through it. And what happens is from being a thin line, it becomes a thick line. And when it's a thick line, that becomes your default. Amen. So when symptoms come, you don't think about it. You just immediately rebuke those, because why? You've renewed your mind. There's a very strong pathway here that you've developed in your mind, so it becomes the default. Amen. So that's renewing your mind. So James says this. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." We know that scripture, right? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So when we get knowledge of God's word, let's say any particular scripture, and we start to get that knowledge, what that knowledge does is, this is wonderful, man. So you get this gigantic electric grid, and let's say there's a scripture, and I know you will relate to this. There's a scripture. Pastor Hendry's been up there teaching, or Pastor Cindy or someone, and all of a sudden there's a scripture that they talk about, and you will grab hold of that, and you will go home that week, and you will start to think about that scripture. Amen. And so it's probably a scripture you've never known before, but what it does is it creates a new pathway in your mind. So it may be a pathway like this or whatever. And so it'll create something new. It is something you've never really known before. Amen. So we can call that then knowledge applied creates a new experience. So it becomes a new experience. The word actually becomes an experience. Come on now, think about this. Your whole being gets involved in it. But God's word is so powerful, it becomes an, it's not just reading, you know, a word like you would read a book. This is life. So it becomes an experience. You start to actually live in the dimension of the words that it's explaining, the reality of what it's explaining. Amen. So knowledge applied creates a new experience, a new pathway. And a new experience creates new circuits in the brain. So you're starting to form new circuits in the brain that should become your default, the way you start to think, from the old way of thinking to the new way of thinking. So you repeat that. So you're like, I do this all the time. So there's a scripture I'll learn, and then I'll use the day. I'll repeat that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And so I'm repeating actually an experience, because I'm starting to experience what that word is talking about. Are you with me? I'm just not getting too deep here. But you start to experience what that word is talking about. Amen. It goes from just words to become experience. I'm experiencing the healing. See, you got to get your healing. You got to get your healing before you get your healing. Amen. You got to get it before you get it. You got to get it here and in your heart, which we'll come to later, before you get it in your body. Your body's just going to follow. Amen. It'll just follow whatever, because it doesn't know. It's not a dummy, but you know, your body just doesn't know. It just follows whatever is going on. So it's following the experience that you're having with a living word. Oh, hallelujah. This is, you know, with a living word. Thank you, Lord. So the more you go for that experience, the more you experience and experience it, it becomes meditation. It's part of your whole meditation. And meditation then becomes a state of being. So it's not like then you get to a place where it's not like, oh, I'm feeling symptoms or whatever. I must get that scripture. As soon as you know the symptoms, your default is immediately there. So you become the state, you become into a state of healing rather than trying to grab healing. Is this making sense? So you're not trying to grab the healing, you're actually experiencing the state of being healed. Because you've renewed your mind by the word of God. Amen. Is this okay? So, I just want to go quickly with this. So God is showing you his goodness. Now, this piece, let me get back to this piece again. In Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know that," I keep coming back to the scripture because it's so important. If you get this one, you'll get the rest. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," says the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So we've established the fact that God is thinking about your peace, not your future. And when you're at peace in the present state, you have a secure future. Do you know that peace is an emotional state? Amen. So God's thoughts about you are emotionally charged right now. God is emotionally involved in your life right now. And that state of emotion that God's in is regarding his peace for you. He wants peace for you right now. Even as I speak that over you right now, receive that. He wants that peace for you right now. Now, obviously love is an emotional state. It's the high. Do you know the highest emotional state is love? And when we get to the emotions, we can try and explain that a little bit more. But when we go back to thoughts, as we try and bring this down, because I want to cover one thing before we close regarding symptoms. But thoughts are very powerful for two reasons. Thoughts have content and they have energy. This should be slide 11, if you can follow me there. Slide 11, I think it is. No, it's before that. Okay, don't worry about it. Maybe I've missed it. So let me explain it. So thoughts are powerful for two reasons. Thoughts have content and energy. The content is what you're thinking about. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Thoughts have content. I want you to get hold of this. Is this okay for you?
Yes.
Because if we can get this, we'll know how to get healed and maintain it. And we'll come to the worship part. I'll wrap the whole thing up with worship and how the whole thing connects. But I'm laying foundations here. So thoughts have content and energy. This is important. The content is obviously what you think about, right? The energy is how strong and how long you think about what you're thinking about. Amen?
Amen.
Content is what you're thinking about. Energy is how long and how strong you're thinking about what you're thinking. Amen. So thoughts can come and go, but thoughts that are then held and thought about for a while and meditated on become very, very powerful. I said there, when your thoughts are held long and strong enough in your mind, they filter down into your heart. And I don't want to get into this now because it's incredible. But we're going to look at what happens then, how things translate from the mind into the heart. Amen. And the heart is the big one. Amen. So just keep that thought in mind for the moment. So I said here, the danger of not renewing your mind, your brain is like a museum. Did you know that? Your brain is just like a museum. So it houses stuff. It houses past experiences or things you've learned in the past. So That's just basically what your mind is. It's like a museum that houses stuff, past things. So if your mind is not renewed, listen to this. If your mind is not renewed, your body will feel like it's living in the past. Come on now. If you're not living in the present state of peace, your body will revert back to living in the past because it'll think it's living in the past. Amen? That's what it'll think. So what does that mean? It means then it'll revert back to its old ways of doing and being. So you'll go back to feeling exactly, your body will start to feel exactly the way it did before you got saved. You will be subject to sickness and everything else. Amen. It says it in Romans 8:5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the result will be this, that old emotions and feelings will be the result of not renewing your mind with the Word of God. You'll just revert back to the old way. That's why, guys, it is so important. And I know you've heard the message before, but it is so important that we renew our minds all the time. Because if you don't, your body's actually waiting for you to renew your mind so it doesn't have to live in past experiences. Amen? Because it just follows. Even emotions, you'll default back to your old emotional ways unless you renew your mind. You know, you'll be like the old man that you were before you get saved for a lack of not renewing your mind. Same old, because you'll be releasing the same old chemicals that you released when you were the old man. Living in the old ways. The same chemicals will be released from your thought patterns. Amen? So nothing will actually change. And you'll start to feel the way you did before you were saved. How much time have we got? Can I go on just a little bit longer? Let me just go through this. So there's a process here. So the first process, maybe slide 12. Thank you so much. There's a process. I'm going to get through this quickly. So it just shows you, and I must get better slides. It's not very clear, but just the way the brain works and the connections there. But basically, this is the process. The process is knowledge, which is renewing your mind with the Word of God, right? So that forms new pathways in the brain. Amen. Would you agree to that? Then what you get is meditation. So you've got a scripture that you like, so you're going to meditate on that because you like it or you're feeling drawn to that scripture. So you go over and over and over and over and over and over and over that scripture. So then from knowledge, through meditation, you start to strengthen pathways in your brain. Amen? Remember that slide I showed you before? So they get thicker in a sense. It becomes now more your default than just a revelation. Well, that was a revelation. Revelations are good, but revelations don't change your life. What changes your life is renewing your word to the place where it becomes your default. The word becomes your default. Amen? So then the next thing is, once you start, after meditation, you'll start to feel like you have enough courage to actually declare and speak these truths. Amen? So that then, what declaration does, it activates pathways in the brain that's already been established. Amen? Come on now. That's why speaking is important. So you'll start to activate pathways in your brain through. So declaration is important. And notice what I didn't say. I didn't say speaking. I said declarations. I am healed. Wait. Your words have weight. Not, oh, I'm believing in healing. Thank you, Jesus. No. Declaration. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Declaration. Amen. So every time you declare something that's in line with God's word, you're activating pathways in your brain that's already been established, but you're reactivating them. And then thanksgiving. This is a big one. Thanksgiving creates a mindset of expectation. So in these brain patterns in your mind then, Thanksgiving, if you've gone through those steps in Thanksgiving, will create a mindset of expectation. Amen? Okay, can I deal with one thing and then we'll close? But it'll be worth it if we just go for a few more minutes. I'm going fast here. I know I'm going fast. Okay. Oh. Now let's go to Acts chapter 3 quickly. Let's go to Acts chapter 3 and then we'll go to, if I don't get time for symptoms, I'll do them on Wednesday. Acts chapter 3. So here's a guy in Acts chapter 3. I'm going to show you something very powerful here regarding mindsets and the consequences of wrong mindsets. So it says here, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. They went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid, what does it say in your Bible? They laid daily this guy at the temple from his mother's womb. From he was a baby, he lay daily at the temple every single day. Amen. Can you imagine that? I want you to get a picture of this now. So this guy's lame from his mother's womb, and his mates must have taken him up there and laid him at the temple every single day. So there the guy is, lying at the temple every day and observing something. What he's observing is, there is people going past him every day who go into the temple and come out of the temple. So he's lying there every day and he's watching them going in and he's watching them coming out. They're going in. People going to the place where God lives. Amen. God is in that temple and he's watching them every day, just begging for alms. If anybody can just give him a coin or two, please help me. That was his expectation. That was the limitation of his mind. So he was sick, right? But equally, the people who were getting in to the temple and out of the temple were just as sick. Because nobody could help them. Here were people who were in the presence of God, coming out of the presence of God, walking by a lame man, and all they could do is give him a few coins because nothing had changed in their mind. Their mindset was the same. This is not the church that God is raising up right now. Maybe it's the church of the moment, but not the church he's raising up, not the moment, the church of the past, but the church he's raising up right now is not this. Amen. Because what use is there a church where the people go into the presence of God and come out of the presence of God and we walk past lame men every day and there's nothing we can do except give them a few coins. Amen. And along comes Peter and John. He was there, and it was at the gate called Beautiful. The irony of the whole thing is it was a magnificent place. You know, I think it was about 60 foot wide, this gate. It took about 20 men to open this gate. You know, and so he was at a beautiful place, but a beautiful place didn't help him. We can be in beautiful churches, man, with the smoke and the machines and everything else. It doesn't help anybody. Amen. In beautiful places, but there's no power. So he's asking alms for those who... So seeing Peter and John, he says, about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. Just, he's asking, same as I thought the day before. I'll just ask for alms. I've done this all my life. I don't know anything else. So he lacked knowledge. I don't know what to do. But you don't. Amen. Therefore, your mindset has got to be different. My mindset has got to be different. And fixing his eyes on him, with Peter and John, he says, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He's expecting the same old, because his mindset is the default, is nobody can help me here. All I can get is a few coins. I'm happy with that, because he didn't know any different. But thank God, there was a couple of guys who had been with Jesus, so they started thinking different. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Amen. Different mindset. They had been with the master. They thought different. took him by the hand and helped the guy up. And now the guy starts to leap and to jump and to praise God. And I like that. I like the rest of it. It says there, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple. Now watch this. So this lame guy who had been watching people come and go from the temple, all of a sudden now he's going to go in there himself. Amen. He goes in there. And it says there, with them walking and leaping and praising God. And probably the first time that there was any praise heard in the house of God like that. He ushered in a whole new dispensation of praise. Why? Because the guy got healed. Amen. Amen. And it says there, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew. Then they knew it was he who sat begging. In other words, they didn't even take much attention to him. But then they knew it was the same guy. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. Prophetic for the end time church. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him because of these two guys. See, it's a mindset. It's the limitation. We the church, we are not in the place of doing miraculously because we don't think miraculously. We've limited God. We've isolated God. The Holy Spirit has become a stranger in his own home. Amen? Just because we don't think beyond the norm. You and I are not created to be normal. We're created to be supernatural. Come on now. I'm speaking to myself as well. That is the truth. There's nothing more frustrating than a normal Christian. There's no such thing. It's an oxymoron. A normal Christian? What is that? What is that? You know? That's the frustration. That's because you know when your spirit is recreated, man, you know that there's something supernatural that's taking place on the inside. You can't avoid the way you feel, the way you can't. But, and yet, there's this tension between that reality and what you cannot reach. Isn't that true? You know, but you cannot reach. You read the word, but you cannot achieve the results. But that's going to come in meditation. In Jesus' mighty name. I speak over that you are a church who will experience the supernatural. And are experiencing it right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let's stand quickly before I hand it back to Cindy. Thanks for giving me a little...